All right, that is good. All right, now let's take our declaration, all right, of understanding together as we begin to study. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. And let's take our seats. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms. I want to just quickly read something from Psalm 37. There's a particular verse I want to read here. Where I'm going to read verse 25, I just want to back up so as to get in some context. Let's start from verse 16. Psalm 37, from verse 16. It says, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous. He said, the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. Now, go down to verse 21. It said, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. For those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Now, verse 25 is the reason why I read this. He said, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long, he is gracious and lends, and his descendants, they are not only blessed, they are a blessing. You see, their children are a blessing. The godly always gives generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, there's a reason why I read this. We want to continue what we began last time, talking about writing scripts. The assignment we have is not just for our lives, but for the next generation of soldiers whom the Lord is training through us. Why did I read this? It's something that's been on my mind, and I've been teaching it again and again in recent times. When David said, I was young, now I am old, I have not yet seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. Please, I'm reading this because of the word descendants or seed or children begging bread. That is the fact that it's focusing on seed, the fact that it's focusing on descendants. All right? That's the reason why I read this, because we've been looking at this issue of writing the script concerning our lives. And last time we began to look at that concerning our children. And, you know, there's a mystery. All right? When I say mystery, what I mean is that it's a spiritual truth that maybe we don't fully understand why it's like that, but we know as a matter of fact that is the way it is. Blessings are carried from generation to generation. Why is it like that? I don't know. But a generation transfers blessings. There are things that Solomon enjoyed only because of David. Are you getting my point? Yeah, that's a matter of fact. In fact, if somebody pleases the Lord, for generations after, you will continue to see remnants of that in the lives of the children of that individual. It's as if God owes it to them. Do you understand? Sometimes they appear to have an unfair amount of favor working for them. And there's a study, somebody did some statistical, collection. Now, I didn't know I was going to talk about descendants of, Jonathan Edwards. And another person, you see generations afterwards, This one you see politicians, preachers, you know, and when I say politicians now, senators, governors, judges. Do you understand my point? Plenty amongst the descendants. Now, not all of them will be like that. Okay? But generally, that's what you find. Okay? But the other one, he had more than the average number, you know, proportion of children in jail. They were still criminals, and all right, amongst his descendants. These things move from generation to generation. Please, anytime you are doing something, God helped me with that last many years. Anything I'm doing, you know, deep inside me, I know it's not just about me. This is going to affect my natural children. And I believe, you know, there are two sets of children that people like, everybody has, but very prominent amongst us also are preachers. They are those who live their lives by what you say. Your blessing also affects them. And if you do rubbish, and they accidentally, you teach along that rubbish, and they drink the rubbish doctrine, they will also be affected. Have you ever asked yourself why David sinned and 70,000 in Israel died and he did not die? Just by the way, please, when you are following anybody, including Pastor Banky, follow with care. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Put his book here. No, on this side. Which side now? On the left. And your Bible on the right. Before you start reading Pastor Banky in the morning, do you get? Read scripture first. Read Isaiah. Read Proverbs. Ephesians. Hebrews. First 2-3 chapters of Revelation. Read all those things. Let's not forget Matthew, Mark, Luke. The two books I love particularly in those areas is Luke and John. I think I've read Luke more than any other one of the synoptic gospels. Then I read John. John is a different one. His own story is very different. But keep reading those people, getting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and use those words to weigh whatever I teach. Do you get my point? If you ever hear me say things like, John was not seen well, when he said, behold the Lamb of, when he says that the lion of the tribe of Judah, that Jesus is not a lion. If I say that, just again, small aside, just assume it's one day that I drank before I preached to you. So delete it. That is the alcoholic part of his message. Just delete it. Don't throw me away entirely, all right? But please, let me just say, don't feel like, No, a lot of people feel like this. If my pastor is wrong on one thing, he's wrong on everything. It's not true. It's not true. There are men, I don't want to seem to be analyzing anybody now. There are men I follow. You hear me teach, quote them, do a lot of things. The other day we were in Jonathan's house. We were having a discussion on an issue. And he brought up one matter. And he quoted one of those men. I said, Jonathan, this is an area where I think he doesn't know what is going on. I said, you will see us differ heavily. Okay? Yeah, don't throw the man away entirely. Please, don't. You can please give us some liberty to miss one or two things. Alright? So it's not a alright? I don't think it's right for me to do you know everything I've said, do you know I think they are correct? What did I say? No. Thank you, ma. I think. It's my thought. If you feel like you want to disagree on a point, don't just feel, because there are some people that they can disagree. Long ago, one young man wrote me, he said that, I said, human beings have a spirit. He said they don't. Only Christians have a spirit. Okay, you're laughing. You know, so many scriptures just jump through your head to tell you that, but I don't bother. See, why do I answer those things is that you get many of them. I can't spend my whole life arguing with people. So as you grow, you will learn. As I grow, I will learn. See, we are agreed on the major things. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Yes. When we give our lives to him, he gave us a new spirit. So we all agree that we believers all have the spirit of Christ. It's good now. What is the argument on what the unbeliever does not have? Okay, so what I'm saying, this is very important, because if you swallow negative doctrine, it will affect you. You know, the other day, one of you Okay, I think you were saying that, there's a particular man you didn't listen to. You were surprised that I was quoting something from him. Did I listen to him? I said, no, it's a tall reverend that gave me the link, and I was blessed by the thing he shared. And I remembered why you think I didn't listen to the man. Because he has an opinion on marriage that I disagree with vehemently from scripture. Okay? His pastor taught that to him, I believe. Is that okay? And his pastor taught it to his inner caucus. And I heard about it more than 20 years ago. One of my senior bros was inside the inner caucus. That's one of the reasons why he had to leave the church. He couldn't stand that kind of teaching. And this man we are talking about, he and his wife quarreled, they divorced. His pastor, he and his wife quarreled, they divorced. And I said, see, they are not bad people. It's a doctrine. So this is the outworking of the doctrine in their lives. So when they start talking along that area, I kind of keep away. Because I know the fundamental doctrine they are walking by. Why did I give him as an example? Because I think he swallowed a bad doctrine. It affected his teacher. It showed up in his own life also. And this particular group I know, their big boss has some funny doctrines. And you look at the lives of those who are following him. The same thing. You see the ways affecting their lives and all of that. Now back to where I began that from. These things are transgenerational. You get a blessing in one generation, it affects the next generation. And I'm saying, you have to be careful. You are not only doing things to bless yourself, you're also doing things to bless another generation after you. Jesus said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Which takes me to the next point. Many of the things you are doing, they will be blessing, very common with blessing, they are amplified in the next generation. That's when they're amplified. It'll be amplified in the next generation. It's so important you put down a blessing for your children. And this is our spiritual. Talking about material inheritance. We believe that Esau took everything that Isaac had. Jacob had none. It's not in the Bible like that. After that birthright matter, what happened to Jacob? He disappeared. And he was gone for about 20 years. By the time he returned, he was already blessed. Esau was actually at that time likely richer than he was. If you read the story, Esau had. So I think maybe he took over his father's business and all of that. Their father was still alive then when Jacob returned because he died and two of them buried him. Okay? But where I'm going is that, you know, Jacob didn't get anything material. But the blessing went with him to the house of Laban. And when for more than 14 years, the blessing dealt with him. Because I say all the time, the inheritance, God doesn't bless disobedience, doesn't bless bad character, doesn't bless iniquity. But when you are blessed, all right? When you are blessed, you have the blessing inside you. The angel of the covenant has to teach and correct you, rearrange your life until the blessing can manifest. It doesn't necessarily do it in one day. It doesn't necessarily do it in one year. It may take more than 10 years, but please don't give up. Stay there with him. I began something last Saturday, which I hope God helping us to continue next Saturday. I'm teaching along that line. The discipline of the Lord, the correction of the Lord, in which you must learn to endure and wait. God takes his people through rough times, a lot of times. And Jude, what did James say? Count it all joy. There's one scripture we read the other day that said, you should feel fortunate. Was it Good News Translation of that James chapter 1? One of them said, consider yourself fortunate when you have various trials. What that is doing is that God is purifying you so that the real blessing he has inside you can come out. Now, what I want to bring out from the course of the focus of today, many of those things that God will bring out through purification of you will manifest in the next generation. Read through your scriptures. Those who were really blessed. Take a man like Jacob. The real blessing. when he saw, not Esau, one Pharaoh saw him and saw that he was a very old man. He said, how old are you? The man tells me how old he was. He said, I'm not as old as my father's. He said, but my own years, they have been full of sorrow and bitterness and hardship. Jacob suffered his whole life. But you know what? That is the reason why his descendants could be blessed. The blessing of Jacob was what you saw in the life of Joseph. The blessing of Jacob traveled down and manifested not in Judah himself, but the descendants of Judah. Judah himself, what did he have? Nothing. The blessing wasn't there. In that their generation, only, what was the name of our Oga? Joseph. Really shows something distinctive. But his father had to suffer to get that transferred to him. And God took him out of the house and went and manifested it somewhere. Brethren, you can leave money for your children. It's in the scripture. Houses and riches the fathers can give. Inheritance from the fathers. All right? However, the most important thing you should leave for your kids is a spiritual deposit. And please, Christians, you must understand this. Behave like it's important. I keep on telling Christians, please, don't show God that you don't think these things are important. You are willing to sacrifice hard to send a child to his university that produces good engineers, good business people, good, what do you call this? Yeah, computer engineers, you know, coders and all of that, software engineers. But you don't care whether the foundation will threaten the faith of your children. And you brag about it. And if a friend of yours says that, there's this university, it's around here, not to, but my children are going there. And when he starts talking, you're looking at him like, you do have plans for these kids? And he's saying that, every Friday they are in church, they pray, you know, sometimes 60 days, boom, boom, boom. And you look at it as if, You know, a lot of Christians, we are more interested in material plans than depositing faith in the next generation. Listen, I can't, of course, I don't know everything. I can't tell you everything now, but just bear these things in mind. That if I want to make plans for my children, do you get? What is the spiritual plan? How am I concerned about their faith? I say it again, I think too many Christians are too careless about the faith of their children. I've said it again and again. If you're in your house, you really pray. If your house, you study scriptures, you go to church as much as possible. Keep those children there. Don't send them out. Yeah. Don't let them go to school to go and learn biology, physics, and chemistry. And nobody's teaching them the faith of Christ. And you're not concerned. The only is that, no, the lecturer has said, they don't strike. I keep on saying, if you like strike, eventually you go tired. You will get tired. But there are times you lay a foundation in life. Be careful what you are laying at such times. If the foundation is secure, look, anything can happen. Do you get my point? See, there's one thing I was telling my wife the other day we're talking. I said, one thing I want to tell you something. I said, look, at the end of the day, after we have finished running up and down, after I finished running up and down, where God said these children will get to, they will get there. That's the prayer me I prayed. If you like, pour 200 million naira to educate one child and 2 million on the other one. If they both have do you get my point? The solid foundation. In 10 years' time, there will be no difference. There will be no difference. So there's no need to kill yourself for things that will not make, that's not significant later. That the long-term value is does nothing. If you have at least 15 years, 20 years post-secondary school, okay? Yeah. You will look and realize that there's no way of plotting who will get to where. No, just look at your classmates now. There's no way. I don't even know my classmates and I. A number of us met. People, I can tell you this, We are talking about money. Money. In any currency. The richest of my classmates are in Nigeria. That is, convert it to dollar and calculate it. So the other day, went to visit one of my guys. The other one that was with us, one of us, he came from the United States, you know, we're there. We entered this guy's house. He said, this is the first time I've seen a lift in a private house. And we're laughing at the guy. Yeah. There's no, you know, okay. The most brilliant billet is not, it doesn't mean anything. There are people who struggle to finally manage to graduate like, ah, I didn't die. Oh, well, you know, right now, they are the commanders in chiefs. Even when it comes to, maybe say, the most brilliant person, even when it comes to owning hospitals and paying other doctors, you don't have to be the most brilliant in class. So sometimes I look at guru guru. I said, oh, this is guru guru. It's not necessary. It is not necessary. What your children need, and that's what I'm trying to emphasize, is not just for them, also for their own children. Because the blessing of God, God wants you to think at least three generations. That's why he wants you to think. You, your children, and their children. How does it go? The words that are placed in your mouth will not only be in your mouth, but be in the mouth of your seed and your seed's seed. Is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I prayed for them. Not only for them, but those who will believe by their words. Jesus one, disciples second, their own disciples third. That's the way it goes. There are things, as you don't read the scripture, in your life, you're not only walking with God for your sake. Jesus said, for their sakes, I sanctify myself. See, never disobey God to get anything. Because you make it more difficult for your children to be blessed. Because that line, where you feel very well, they have to pass there. Let me tell you, there's a way spiritual things there. Most of us will not suffer the way Job did. But Job had to suffer for us. And we have to identify with Job one way or the other. Please don't join those who say Job didn't know scripture. Eh? When you pray in the morning, Father God, I want to thank you for Uncle Job's life. Don't ever feel superior to him. Because if you do, God has to train you on your own. The blessing of Job is not your portion. So you have to go and start again. Study Job. Thank God for Job. I want to say one funny part. Cry for him too. And then when God takes something small from you, not a lot, just one small thing. Maybe it's a pregnancy. It's not four children. It's not 10 children. Do you get? But I believe God now. But I showed my shield. And I've been walking righteously. But I wouldn't they worry? Should we start again? No, don't do it like that. Just quickly, don't go to some funny churches and say that, rebuke the devil. Bro, leave that devil till later. Now, quickly collect the blessing of Job. What do? You kneel down. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's called the trial of your faith. When you do that, you know what happens. Because they give him a photocopy of Job's certificate. You have passed the test of Job. That is, the suffering of Job has now been credited to you. Job didn't suffer for himself alone. It wouldn't have been worth anything. That amount of suffering to get what? No, think about it. To get material things. The material things is not the blessing, the real blessing that Job got. Go and read your Bible very well. In the book of Hebrews, he explained, all these ones did not receive the promise. It's not the material things. The material things are not that important. But Job, he left something for this earth. Anybody that drink, no, we're talking about spirit. There is a spirit of blessing that Job left behind. And you must drink it. That's a smaller side. But you also have to leave something for your children. That's what I'm saying. It's very crucial. Obey God for the sake of your offspring. It might lead to suffering, but please take it. Don't mortgage their destiny. Don't mortgage their inheritance. Please don't use stolen money to build a house for them. They will be poor. There are people that will do something that makes me laugh here. Reverend. They'll be doing things, say, it's because of our children. And I keep on looking, I say, whoa, imagine Korea on Monday, you shake me for you. Some of you know I can speak Yoruba. Some of you, I'm sure you never really heard me speak. That means looking at me like, ah, Oga, now you talk that one. I speak Yoruba more than you.
Now just this Biafra thing ruined my tongue.
I haven't lived in Enugu for so long. Even before Enugu, let me not blame Enugu. Once I got into university, the whole thing began to mess up a bit. All right? Do you know what I said just now? In other tongues. What are you a man of God for? You can't interpret small one, not even big one. Not even tongues of angels. This is just Western Nigeria tongue here. You are believing God for the gift. You are interpreting drawings. That's your problem. The Lord is good. Sometimes people say some things that I would just look like, why do you want these children, their spirits, to curse you? You are lying on their head. Why? Because you make decisions, you're walking out of the will of God, and you're saying it is because of my children. If that was true, you've just cursed them. Are you okay? You have to be very careful. It's very important. It is not. I told you once, I've told this story, just like use the story again to let you understand the way when you use things as excuses. One day, if you have been married, you're a man, not a woman. If you have a man, I've been married for up to 5 years here. Put up your hand. A man. Okay, 4 years, 4 years. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, good. Well, I'm one of the seniors, you understand my point. Mine is over 25. All right. The Lord is good. This is your beard. Does not mean you are married. So don't just be smiling there. Yeah. Let the men talk. All right, boys, relax. Now, how many of you have your wife ever upset you so bad you don't want to go anywhere? Amongst all of you, to put up your hand. Okay, those of you it has never happened to put up your hand. Amongst of you, hands were up earlier. Oh, so all of you. I thought you married the woman that you loved. So they're able to upset you enough. I hope you didn't drive into gutter. Now, one of those days, all right? So at least I now know my wife is not worse than yours. That's what I want to establish. So, so one of those days, my wife upset me. She really, I was so angry. Now, don't ask me what happened because it's really nothing. You know, it's the annoying part. If that thing used to come like a spirit, and I know identify the spirit, I can tell you the color. If we enter the realm of the spirit, it's just come, it's like a spirit of upset somebody. And sometimes I look at my wife, I say, it's like, you just feel like, why should there be no noise in this place? Because this thing is not supposed to be an issue. So it's one of those days, something just happened, I can't remember what. And I call Pastor Kimothy. Like, I'm so upset, I can't preach. So please, you take the meeting for today, Saturday. Please go and teach, all right? Whatever God lays upon your heart. I have not called him. I was about to call him because I felt I couldn't come to Bible study because this kind of spirit cannot come and teach. As I picked my phone, about to dial, then my spirit said, whether it's the Holy Spirit or the angels that are feeling sorry for me, I don't know. I just heard it inside me. I just said, so when it is 5 o'clock and God says, Banky, where are you? And I've told you, there are questions that God asks. One, where are you? Two, what are you doing here? These are questions that the Lord asks. He asked Adam, where are you? He asked Elijah, what are you doing here? So I said, when the Lord comes and asks, where are you? What will you say? Do you know, once the answer played in my head, I dressed up quickly and I came to preach. See, even if what I would do that, look, I'll just take my Bible. Everybody open to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens. By the time I finish reading to the end of that Genesis chapter 1, my soul will have calmed down. If it hasn't calmed down, we'll go to Psalm 23. If it has not finished calming down, we'll go to Revelation chapter 1. We'll read all the way to chapter 3. By the time we read all of these ones, time will have been over. Just thank God. Isn't the word of God beautiful? Oh, were you just blessed just reading those words? You won't know that the reason why this guy is reading scripture is because his soul is disturbed. Because that's not even happened. I was able to preach. But what I'm talking about is what came to my mind. What will you answer when he says, what are you doing here? And the only answer I had to give was, the woman that you gave me upset my soul so much, I cannot fulfill the word, the assignment that you gave me. And because as at that time, I understood some things. And I said, Banky, are you now an intercessor or an accuser? I quickly ran to be honest with you, not for my sake, but because of my wife. I said, no, that shouldn't go on her record. You have to be careful. And I'm talking about children. Please, when you want to disobey God, better to say, when God says, stay here, say, I'm going there. And the Lord said, what are you doing here? Don't say, the children that you gave me, their future has to be secure. Don't say it. Just say, Lord, I don't like that place. It's too hot. I've moved to a place that is cold. Or I don't like that place. It's too dry. I moved to a place that is wet. Leave it like that. Do not apply accusation against them. Please. Please. A lot. I see people give excuses. You know, these children, one day I was talking to one son, and he said, this one is not because of these children. And let me tell you something, The children are very important, but they are secondary to God. They are important, but they are behind the Lord in, you know, hierarchy, in your, you know, order of prominence, of a priority in life. In your scale of preference, they are not near the top. The Lord is number one. And please don't present him as if, no, sometimes, no, I've seen preachers say some things. I said, no, let's be careful, oh. I was preaching to your daddy that, you know, you have to be there for your children. And I agree. So there was a program they planned. His son had to go and do one sport. He had to be there for him. So he canceled the program and went to go and do cheerleader. I said, bro, I get your point, but I don't get the point. Do you hear what I said? I get the point, too, but I don't get the point. No. The two of them, they shouldn't clash. I told you what happened the other day was one of the most painful things I've done in my life. My mother-in-law just passed on. Next morning, I left my wife, boarded a flight to go and preach. It wasn't funny. Oh, maybe one 90-year-old woman. No, she was relatively young. She was there. It wasn't funny. Even my good friends who are ministers, they said, they told each other, they discussed. Tell Banky can't go. I said, one of them said, I can't tell him. They behind, they were like, no. I said, I reasoned. And there are scriptures in my head. Which, you know, the Lord is looking at you like this. You go and raise her from the dead now. She be go now. Show me how your presence we change the situation. It wasn't funny. I'm telling you, it wasn't funny. My wife was standing and weeping when I entered the car, went to the airport. It wasn't like she was calm. She was still crying when I left. I said, what am I now going to do? I reasoned. The brethren had advertised. They had spent their money. They had planned a program. You know that day when we got there, I had to bust one flight for another one. So it made me get, and see, that's the story I tell you guys once in a while. Senior Israel and I went together, all right? So I told him, you go from Enugu, I'll come from Benin, get a taxi and wait at the airport. That's when I told you, on the road to Kaduna, there was no car in front, no car behind. You know, bandit, all those kind of issues. For that reason, I got there late. This is where I'm going. Do you know that the people waited from 5 o'clock till I entered the place at 12? They were seated. They just played the message. They put a message after praise, worship, everything. They put a message by Pastor Banky to be playing. So one woman came, heard it, said, hey, this is what they mean. I thought Pastor Banky was coming. Someone now said to her, no, she just maybe expressed to somebody. She told me about herself later that I didn't know you were going to come with that. When I came, I heard your message playing. So I thought they wanted to play. But they advertised that you were coming. So is this what they were planning to do? But someone now told her that no, he's on the way. They all sat patiently. I started preaching at 7 o'clock instead of 5. So you see, when our brother said those things, so I've heard different ministers say it. I said, brethren, I understand what you people are saying, okay? Don't be a not available father. Yeah, I agree with you. But when you tell me that you cancel critical things, because Bobo wants to play football. Me, I'm a bit uncomfortable. I'm a bit uncomfortable. I will find other ways Maybe if he, well, there's one man I heard of, he was in the US, his church was in a program. He flew from the US, he was supposed to take a section of it, finished preaching, took the next flight and went back. So if I have to do that, maybe I will. But counsel, I don't think I have the, like we say in Nigeria, I don't think I have the liver to do that. I don't want to put people in conflict. I don't want to start telling the Lord, my family is more important than you and your assignments. No. I have to try. You know, there's a reason. You know, my wife and I joke about it a lot of times. Say, let's go for this. I said, that's why I'm married. You go, since I cannot go. Do you understand my point? I want to go for a ceremony. I said, baby, you go for the ceremony. I have to go and preach. And we'll finish before you start preaching. I said, but my head will not be calm enough. So that's it. So there's a reason why the Lord didn't say, you know, only me should have the children. You understand my point? We have to try and balance. But the point I'm emphasizing that I see a lot of times people make decisions. And I find the decisions questionable. When you ask, why are you doing this? You say, you know the children now. And you look and say, what do you mean? What do you mean? But the Lord, the good Lord, with a little tincture of blessing on this provision he has made. Because it's not as if he has made no provision. You just want to use your earthly mind to prepare your own provision for them. With a tincture of blessing on this provision he has made. These children are fine. Another thing I found out, I think it's my suspicion. A lot of people are supposed to give to the work of God. They can't. Do you know why? The children have taken everything they have. And it's a sin. Let me tell you how God does. See, sometimes I don't want to say this thing, so I'll be like, say I'm causing quarrel. But there are people I'm teaching. So you that's quarreling, you're not the one I'm teaching. Do you get my point? What I'm saying maybe it doesn't concern you. Those who I'm teaching, they should listen. They should listen. For example, because you have to know how God does things. I've seen people a lot of times who suddenly they start needing money they don't need. You say, what are you saying? I did that deliberately just to make you say, what did you say? You sit down, there is nothing wrong. Is it not tertiary education you want to give these children? All right, God gives you, okay, we're in Enugu, so let's take two of our universities around here, which are government-owned. God gave you University of Nigeria, which is in Enugu State. They have a campus in Enugu City, Enugu campus. He gave you Enugu State University of Technology. Okay? Then, let's leave Enugu. He gave you many of such around. He said, no, I don't like somebody else who can go on strike. Then he gave you universities like Covenant and all of that. All of which you pay in Naira. Naira of which you have in abundance. Then you join the WhatsApp group. Where every day they tell you that ASU doesn't have sense. Or the private universities in Nigeria, they smoked Nkurumiri. Or why by the time they finish painting the nation their own color, suddenly you realize that your children are not getting good education. You realize it. I mean, like you. That's how you feel. And then suddenly you need. Now listen, from when you were, I've seen people do this. From when you were needing, let's say, 500,000 naira. All right? Or let's put a millionaire in a year to take care of one of these kids. Suddenly, you now need 18. Yeah, that's what happened. Yes. Now, because a member of your WhatsApp group showed you that an inexpensive university where has managed to carry his child to. Okay? You did a small calculation. All right? Maybe tuition in a year. It's just $18,000. That's not 18 million. Should you know that? Well, when you started, it was 18 million, but now 20 something. And you're not happy that you're doing it. Again, I don't have a problem. You see, there's one thing I've learned in this life. Your business is your business. Mine is mine. But being a teacher, sometimes I feel sorry when you're running your business anyhow. What I mean is, let me explain what I'm saying. A lot of people you are following, okay? I mean, Judah. Now, I was telling you yesterday about somebody whose son went to. So he wanted to collect school fees. And the father said, how much is it? And he said, is it $12,000 or $15,000? And the man just counted the money in an envelope and I was watching and they gave it to him. And while I was, that's transaction. The young man just scammed his father of $2,000, by the way.
Yeah. Because the family scam. What I mean is that the fees was actually less than that. Enough egos could begin hustle. So he increased the fees, knowing that the man will give him the whole money. So he now pocketed the balance to take care of himself while he's reading book. Now you see people like that, they are the ones who want to join to send your children to schools like that. Meanwhile, you, to bring $2,000, you will sow seed. You will pay arrears of first fruit. Just so that God will be indebted to supply. The man I also know like that. I'm talking to the kids. His own is very, very different. His own first degree, you must do. He told me, he said, you must do this first degree where he can see you. So he can just wake up in the morning, drive to your school, and look for you. That's the way he does. He said, no, you can't go. I mean, if it's money, he has. So after that, anywhere you want to do. And this is one of his children. Okay, what do you want to do next? I said, maybe you go to Germany for this. And the kind of thing he says, like, so his father has to come with $35,000 cash, you know, like, give him $35,000 at the good school. That's not a big deal. His father is not, see, the man is not praying about it. He will open his drawer, bring out his, and give it to you. Some of you listening to me, it's people like that you are following to send your children to school. See, and you know, because the stress you have gone through, you abused, what's the name of the last president before Bola Tinubu? Buhari. Because dollar went up to 400 before he left. He reached 700 or so. Then as soon as Tinubu came in, you don't cause Tinubu die. Cause his grandchildren. Why? From 700, it has reached 1,000 something. Why? God said, but I gave, if you look, your friends who didn't behave like you, they have not changed their life. They've been paying the same fees. Their schools have hardly reviewed fees in the last 2-3 years. Yours has gone up like fourfold. Yeah. And the school did not change their tuition. I keep on telling brethren, why? I sit all the time. The person now starts sweating. Now, this is where I'm going. And the work God gave that individual, he said, Steve is starting the ministry. Pay for hall for him for 2 years. He can't pay. Because the children have exam next week. He has to pay school fees. This is what I'm saying, that don't set this your children up against the Lord. It's not necessary. Because you won't give an excuse. You see, God said, wait. When they were going to American University in Yola, no, just because these are some of the expensive schools we have, which are so good in Nigeria, you could pay comfortably. And having paid, you would have given Steve 2 years whole rent to start ministry to the youth. You will have discharged him from whatever he was doing and say, look, listen, let me place you on salary for the first 3 years. Focus on this ministry. You can afford it, but now you can't. And God said, please, how do I now bless you and these children? Because anytime I look at them, I see the reason why Steve is suffering. After all, you are the one I gave the assignment to help this ministry take off. Sometimes, let me tell you what God does. So I could easily raise somebody else to support him. But I won't. I need the acquisition to be complete. I need to cry for 6 months. I need him to come for ministry one day. And he can't enter because the landlord said the balance has not come. Well, not like I need him to, but Satan will make that happen. Because he likes accusations. And then why do I all of a sudden alter my plan? Because you cannot stick with the plan. After all, you were praying years ago. Then many people listen to me, that's their life. They were praying years ago. Father God, you bless me. Because of the, and I did. You prayed for your wife, I gave you a good one. And let me quickly say this to you, life has temptations. See, the fact that your wife is godly and righteous, you met in church, does not mean she will not be tempted by Jezebels who are in our WhatsApp group. Some women have joined, we all WhatsApp group, one or the other. They join WhatsApp group when people like to post picture from abroad. You know that? I'm in a WhatsApp group of my classmates, so people post pictures from everywhere, but it doesn't move anybody. Maybe we're kind of too old or too waiting with this, you know, like, we don't notice. Yeah. Thank you. We have seen it all. Yeah. Thank you. We have seen it all. In fact, anyone that posts pictures from Twitter, we'll just be hailing the person. In fact, one of my sisters, I was telling my wife about it. No, this woman, you know some people, they rock their husband.
know them to rocking your husband. You don't know what it means. Steve, sorry, Dami, can you help Steve? No, that's not what I mean. You said, this deeper life boy has come again. I beg you, go, go. I beg, who didn't grow up in SU here that knows things like that? Solomon, do you know what it means to rock your husband? Eh? No, no. Eh? No, no, to rock. No. Okay, let me explain. I used to laugh at my sister that is, every time you see Esha and her husband, they're on top of one mountain. They take picture of two of them early morning. Ah, I not take rich here. Say, wait, now weekend now. We just came for a weekend. Their children don't grow finish. So they take a picture. This was when Mungo Park arrived. Ah, this is Mungo Park. Next one is in Cape Town. Then the next thing here is Australia with kangaroo. Or then they are now in Nigeria dancing at one of Bito. Ah, I said, the two of you. Oh, no. You don't have any other work but to be enjoying. So I call her Mama Enjoyment. So, I mean, it was a rebel post some of those things. But not a big deal. No, not a big deal. But there are some young people there. They are in such WhatsApp group. Check them. Ah, hey, Ada, where are you? I'm in Stockholm. Eh, where is that? Which part of Enugu? No, not Enugu, it's in Europe. Another person posts a picture. Hey, they're having her birthday party. Look around. You check, where is it? Me and the girls went to Dubai. You look yourself. Oh, girl, you have not been to Abuja much. Enugu, Abagleki, you know. Occasionally, Lagos, maybe. You are not in the WhatsApp group. Then suddenly, you feel pressured. Listen, brethren, there's no need to be pressured. Let's just put it like that. It's nonsense. It's vanity. It's vanity. It's vanity. Then one of your classmates take picture at the airport. What's happening? I'm seeing Ginny off. He's going to school. Then your wife now say, your husband now comes and say, a jam is out. Let your son should come and feel jam. You look like jam for what? This country, it is not this country that's your problem. It's your WhatsApp group. There's nothing wrong with the country. You know. What should you do? Leave the WhatsApp group. If you are not bold and confident enough to face those things and don't feel anything, and you shouldn't, those who don't feel anything, they are not spiritual, they are normal. It's carnal and abnormal people that feel something. If you can't, just exit the WhatsApp group. Say, what happened? Where are you going? Say, I'm going on a retreat. It's actually a retreat. You are retreating away from all the temptations that will not let you make a right decision in life. I know what I'm saying. It's very important. A lot of people have taken money that God gave them, for example, to sponsor the gospel. For example, to help other people. They have used it and they've told God, I can't help anybody else now because of my children. Brethren, I'm begging you. That is not how to have those children blessed. We are saying that it's inheritance that they need. A spiritual inheritance. That's what they need. That spiritual inheritance. That you give to them because you obeyed God. Which is why I read this particular portion of the scripture. Let's get back to it. We'll finish what we began last time. Writing the script. Let me say it again. God has control. Your own plan is not what is going to come to pass. That you an amen?
Amen.
God has the control. It's not your own plan that will come to pass. And you know, the way God takes people to where he wants to take them to. That, do you know, many times, it's not the way you plan to get there. Do you understand? People have told me before that they need to relocate abroad. Why? Because God gave them an international ministry. You know that? Yet, you know what God did? He brought the world through the internet to every corner of the world. So there are those who stayed in Enugu, in Abakiliki, what's the name of that part of Cross River, close to Abakiliki? Ogoja. They stayed there. And their ministry is international. Their followers are from all over the world. There was one brother I knew in Enugu there. I've not seen him in a very, very long time. This was very early days when many of us were not even on the internet. Kingdom was started, we had a website long ago. Okay, but those days that very few people were even doing things like that. Blogging was already an issue. He told me once that he was going abroad. That's visiting. What happened? Anyway, he went, he came back, and he showed me pictures. Honestly, you know, many of us, I mean, we are going abroad to preach. We go and preach amongst our Nigerian friends, brethren. No, not him. He went to preach. You get there, the church is 90% white. The church is 90% white. Ah. So, boy, what happened? Then he would tell me stories that people, he said, that's what he said. He said, some of this gospel prosperity we are preaching. He said, you can't preach there. I said, why? He said, this people have been rich for so long, they can't follow God because of prosperity. He said, these are generational, you know, wealthy people. He said, well, at the one of the places he stayed and all of that, and they have a lake, you know, in their on their property. These guys, see, they've been rich for so long, they don't know the meaning of being poor. And so they don't think they are rich, they just think they are normal, they are not. He said, that's the kind of church he went to preach. Now, where I'm going is this. What happened? He just used to sit in his house, write some sermons online. One white man stumbled into the sermon, read it, said, wow. Sent him a message, they exchanged a few messages. Ah, is this how you preach? I said, can you come and preach in my church? Which church is that? Somewhere in the heart, you know, those parts of the United States that white people, you know, those inside. He said, he showed me pictures. He preached in church. He told the pastor what is the problem he has, what does he need help with. Pastor would tell, he was counseling this man from Enugu. People have left to go and start. Well, there's one brother I know, it's a friend of mine. He said his senior pastor said he is going to start the international branch. Went to America. He said before the church used to print pictures of all their branches every year. He said the man has stopped it. I said, why? He said, because he has nothing to show for being in America. He said, there's no church. You're not getting it. Oh, you don't understand. That is, it was based in Nigeria. Then they had many branches in Nigeria, maybe like 6, 7 different parts of the country. So they put all the pictures together at the end of the year, do it like kind of a Christmas bulletin. It's after the mom went abroad, they stopped doing it. Said, why? He said, because all the money they were spending, of course, from Nigeria, obviously nothing was going on over there. Bro just sit down there, the lounge. So he canceled all the bulletin they used to do. There was nothing to show. Yet, a young man who did not live here sat down and God gave him literally an international ministry. See, many of the things, places you want to get to in life, that road you are plotting to get there does not lead there. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, the road you are plotting. See, after all, you want your children to be comfortable and, you know, influential, like being a blessing. Like I said, his children are what? A blessing. Read it just now in that Psalm 37. It doesn't have to be the course they study in university. Do you follow my point? You have said that, this person will be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. And then along the line, the boy not green, go school self. So, his friends now taught him some, you know, you can, they join one coding club. He learned to code, began to develop website. But the next thing he knew is in financial technology. Next, before you know what's happening, all the doctors in your family, when they put their salary together, he ends that in 2 weeks. In a year salary. I'm like, your father, your grandfather, all the lawyers in the family, put their salary together. The young man will just, one job, pam, said the last business he did there. Paid him $1 million, you know. Yeah, exactly. You don't operate. You operate in the morning, operate at night. Half of a patient cannot even pay. The young man that you thought that, God just used to make a point to you. So at the end of the day, he's the one that's giving you a whole car as a birthday present. The small one is now going to wed. Dash and one small Corolla just to, after all this one we are saying, don't footballers even earn more than all of them put together. One boy that day, is it 187 million pounds or one? I saw it, but how many of you watch football? Where's Benga? Who was that was transferred about 2 days ago? I know you know. What's his name? How much? Okay, $125 million. Pounds, okay. Like Pastor Corey said. He said, if you give me £1 million, Sokoto governor will come and beg me. the way I will terrorize the city with the gospel. He said he will come to my office to beg me. The Lord is good. What's the point I've made? That is, you see, I've told you again and again. If you want something from the Lord, Ask him for it. Stop telling him how to do it. People have relocated to Lagos because there are more men in Lagos because they want to marry. You're laughing. People do it too. They will seek transfer. Meanwhile, the man that God wants to marry them is in that same small village. Or, and you see, Christian, please understand, your life is not a game of chance. If God keeps you in the bush, if you say, Lord, I'd like to marry, and you're a woman as an example, let me tell you how God does. He does many things, many ways. But one of the ones he will do if he has to do that is he will tap one guy in the city. That guy, you all wake up. The guy wake up. Ah, did somebody tap me? He can't see anybody. He'll go back to sleep. The Lord will tap him again. He'll wake up. Ah. Somebody tap him. Man, imagine it. He'll go back to sleep. Third time, the Lord will beat him hard. Ah. He'll feel the place sting. Then, he will now remember Samuel. So he'll kneel down. Say, my son Andrew. Yes. Tomorrow morning, you will go to the park. Take a bus to where. Don't take your car. Because there's no road to where you are going. When you get to where, take a motorcycle to take you to this village. There, you will find my daughter there. When you get there, she'll be washing her clothes. She's a missionary in the village, taking care of underprivileged people and teaching them the gospel. I want you to marry her. That is one of the most dramatic ones he does. You know, I've told the story of the recurrence many times. He does crazy things. Lord, I've told me you came like these things. When we judge it, they're kind of crazy. A woman left her home in Denmark, went to Ramallah in Palestine, all right? To go and take, I think it's Ramallah, one of those small towns there, to be taking care of orphan babies and all of that. At a point in time, God said, let me give you a companion for your old age. He told a young man that was 25 years younger than her from Britain to go and marry her. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He was 25 years younger. He said, what did he tell the man? He said, I've joined the two of you together under the same yoke, under the same harness. The man went and proposed to a woman that was 25 years older than him. And years later, after she died, she was in her 80s when she passed on. All right? But he would still talk about her. His voice would still break. So you know he wasn't joking. There are times he's telling a story, then he stops talking because he has started crying. Then he quickly composed himself and complete the message. Oh boy. He was 25 years younger than her. He said, an only child, by the way. He was an only child. When his British mother called him one day that, like, you want to get something? How old is she? When she wanted to get married. The mother asked, how old is she? He said he thought, it's British, right? He told the mother, it is not right to ask a woman's age. No British, what do you call it? Etiquette. So the mother kept quiet. The mother was younger than the woman. He couldn't tell the mother. Told the mother, come on, you know, you don't ask a woman's age. The woman kept quiet. The mother. He did not have any natural child of his own. Let me explain this. Yet, he had a family, extended family over 100 people before he died. Over 100 people that called him dad or grandpa or great-grandpa. And they all used to gather regularly, maybe like once in a year. They come from different parts of the world. Stay in his house in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. In a massive compound, and you sit down there. These are the children that the Lord gave me. I said, look, where you are going to, it's not the way you are plotting. It's not the way you are plotting that will take you there. God has his own plot. So relax. Relax. I told the story of the woman they told me about that God posted to a village. And there's a way God will post you somewhere. You know this God that posted you there. She unposted herself. Because her family told her that she needed to marry. She needed to settle. Is it what you will do all your life? Listen, as long as you are making impact by the Spirit of God on this earth, do it all your life. There's nothing like, it is now time for me to go and build a house. Don't go and build what will collapse on you. That's what that girl did. She finally allowed the church to die. Because God, through her, started the church. He went to go and collect husband and all of that. And that marriage killed her. I won't say more than that. Few years after, God just said, this one is, uproot it. Uproot it. I said, look, please, I'm preaching, you know, I've preached this many times, so what am I even saying again? Just like, damn, you will keep preaching this thing. Ron Kenoly. His way, he wanted to, his way to it was to record messages, songs, demo tapes, and mail to all recording labels. All of them said, we are not interested. When he got the last, you know, you don't apply for work, apply for work, tire. See, many people are listening to me, they're applying for work. God say, I won't give you one. If you finally harass me not to give you, you will regret it within a year. So just stay away. I gave you a job, you're not doing it, you're applying. I gave you a job, you're not even doing it. What I mean is that it's a place where you are. Please, if you are in a place, listen. You're working somewhere and you cannot tell your employer that I'm just here marking time till they get the kind of job I like. Resign and go. You are being wicked. A lot of people practice wickedness. My brother told me one day, he stumbled to another brother abroad. I said, what are you doing here? He said, our company sent us for training. He said, your company sent you for training? I thought you told me you were migrating. The guy said, yes. Then you allow your boss to spend this amount of money when you know you are resigned the next 3 months. Brethren, it is wickedness. If you know you want to work in the place and you really don't like the job, tell the man, Oga, I'm supposed to be a pilot. I'm waiting for pilot job. Till my pilot job comes, can I drive for you? So that he knows. It's okay. How long? I need to drive for at least 3 months. Okay. I'm just as an example. Okay. But if you can't say that, then you are wicked. They are putting hope in you. They are trusting in you. Yet you are going to fail them all of a sudden. The man will come to work one day, you quickly resign and give him 1 month salary in lieu of notice and you think you are righteous. No, you are wicked. Most others will not even give any, you just say, you know, anything can happen. Or God, this is my opportunity. How do you sow seeds of evil for your own destiny? When people are looking for, that's what's happening. Where God kept them right now, they're not working there. And the annoying part is that they can demand salary. You're working and you're marking time towards it, hoping in your mind you're pushing the days quickly to get to 31st so you can collect salary. What have you contributed? It doesn't even bother you. Like I said at that time, if you don't think about your work at home, resign from that job. It's a useless job you are doing. Once it's Friday, you are relieved. Thank God it's Friday. You won't do well like that. God wanted to correct somebody. What was I saying before I got into that? I'm talking about, you know, I was talking about the young woman. You understand? Post yourself away. Some people are praying for job. God said, I have kept you somewhere. Do that one first. When it is time to promote you, I will do it myself. Okay, tell me about Ron Kenoly. Ron Kenoly said, see, that was his own method. He sent tapes everywhere. Nobody answered him. The last one, when they gave it to him that we don't want, he was devastated. That's what I was trying to say. Sometimes you apply for work, finally, you're frustrated when they give you the last refusal. So he went into the church to go and pray. I still remember, and see, he told this story when the Bible class he was teaching, maybe like 20, 30 of us. So I'm quoting him. He said, he told the Lord, they don't want to listen to me. You that gave me the gift, you will listen to me. So enter the church and lock the door. It's like, God, you can't get out now. It is me and you here. He sat in front of his keyboard and began to play. And he worshipped and worshipped. He played every song he could think of. Sang for the Lord. Say, they don't want to hear me. You that gave me the gift, you will hear. So finally, he laid on the floor and worshipped and prayed. Listen to this. And said, the Lord, I'm not doing again. This church, I'm the, what we call choir director. They call him music pastor. Say, I'm the music pastor. That's the job I have. He sat down there and did the work so well. Hosanna, that's Integrity Music. They walked in by themselves and said, hello, do you want to join us? He joined them, recorded Jesus is Alive. You can still get it on any of these streaming platforms. And then he did Lift Him Up. That was his second album. And even Muslims played Lift Him Up. Lift Him Up was everywhere you are going. You are going in the market. you are hearing lift him up. Ah, who was there when lift him up came out? Is there too? I know you were there. My wife was there. Reverend Yinka, in Stone Church, you who played lift him up. It was everywhere. Everywhere you turned, it lift him up was the video was even, you know, everybody sat down, watched the, everybody knew this, every song there. The next thing, of course, you know the way we are, Christians, that's the way we are, invitation all over the world. They invite and go Australia, everywhere. Where I met him, he said, ah, you went to the church in America. No. It was in Lagos too. The church, one church in Lagos also brought him to Lagos. And that's when we sat down, he ministered to us many times, ministered in song, he taught the ministerial class, invitation everywhere, from the north to the south, everywhere. And at that time, you know, he was still working in that church. Before he could accept the invitation of the pastor that I went to the church, they had to wait for him to get clearance from his own pastor in America. He was still the music pastor in that church. So the plan you have for your children, leave that thing. Once it's getting too hard, leave them. There's a way you are badging your head against the wall. Even you're supposed to know, say, now nah, God locked this door. You know, there are doors that God locked. You by himself, you'll close it. Such a busy. If I see you near that door, I will injure you. He will let you knock for some time. One day you will look, ah, why are my nails bleeding? God said, you are knocking on a door that I closed. Say, don't come near it again. Next time you knock, your fingers will fracture. I'm better beg him to fracture the finger. That Lord, may a door that you close never open for me. It's important. See, let me tell you how to open doors that God closed. If God closed the door, you know how to open it? I'm sure you don't want to know. Because you don't want it open. The key is always a key of unrighteousness. That's the key. That's how you know. It's always a key of what?
Unrighteousness.
A door that God closed by himself. When they want to help you open it, the key they always offer is a key of unrighteousness. That's how you know that, see, this one, no way. It's God that closed it. When every righteous key can't open it, then somebody comes and says, oh, why? You want that door open? Say, yes, use this key. And you can recognize the key. It's unrighteousness. Tell the person, I don't want. Maybe your child is talking about children. He's writing an exam. He didn't pass. Waek didn't pass. Neko didn't pass. What's the other one? GCE, he didn't pass. After they've done it a number of times, someone now comes say, come and register in this school. In this place, don't worry. Exam fee is 25,000, but just give us the 100. Take care of everything. Even if you can't come for the exam, don't worry. It's okay. See, it's clear. It's clear. It's a key of what?
Unrighteousness.
See, let me tell you something. Many issues we have in this life that we have prayed and prayed. Father, in the name of Kaboshkabaya, in the name of Jesus. You prayed in English? Tongues of angel? Tongues of men? Other tongues of men? And groaning in the spirit? You declare, then you get there. You see, it doesn't work. Leave him. What did I say?
Leave him.
Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Many times it's God that closed that door because he wants you to go through another. Many times it's the Lord that closed it. He just wants you to go through another door. There's one man, I heard the story. Now we're going to use money to explain, but just listen to the spiritual principle behind it. It's an illiterate man, but it was a multi-millionaire. British man. It's a millionaire, businessman. So somebody was interviewing him. How he did well in business and all of that. So what happened, you know, was that he tried to get a job. The only job he could get was that of a janitor. This was somewhere in London. So the employer for the job, you'll be the janitor. You know what the janitor is? Just take care of open the door, close the door, building and all of that. Clean the place. But he needed him to sign the employment paper. He was so illiterate, he couldn't sign it. So just write his name, Adam Smith, and sign. He said, sorry, I didn't go to school. He said, sorry, we can't employ you. So he left the place devastated. Now, since even janitor work, they wouldn't give me. So I started doing business, selling small things, selling this. Like that. That's how I did business until I became a multi-millionaire. That's why they came to interview him. Do you understand? So somebody now this I'm telling the story. The person interviewed me said, "Wow, no education? And look at what you became." He said, "What if you had education?" He said, "I would have been a janitor." The reporter was trying to, you understand? Trying to infer the level he would have gotten to. The guy said, no. I would have signed that document. I would not have gone anywhere. So please, brethren, don't go and register your... See, let me tell you something. When you are making statements to your children, don't give them the impression you don't believe. I know one woman, let me not say where I knew her. In their house, they pray every day. From 2 o'clock, they start praying. A.M. I don't mean P.M. It's 11. Okay, I thought it was 2. They finish what time? Around 1, 2. Every day. 11 p.m. to around 1, 2, they start. They finish. Every day. For certain reasons, I won't talk more. But you see things happening. Okay? The children don't seem to follow the path of faith at all. That's a summary of what I'll tell you. That is a summary. I said, but why? I'll tell you why. Because when it's time for them to do exam, the parents who wake them up by 11 o'clock to pray every day till 1 o'clock will go and keep them in a special place where they lie and cheat. So a student that knows nothing will get A. And you give that same child, no matter the prayer you pray, that child can't believe. Because you've made it clear to these children that I don't believe. You've made it clear to these children that you don't believe. Brethren, they can never believe. Please, I've said this many times. Many people now have heard me say it before. Let me repeat the story again about my household. I said when my children were growing up, my wife and I sat down. Children are going to church, give them offering because they are small. 10 naira, 20 naira. Nigeria of today, that's very small money, all right? Our largest note is 1,000 and minimum wage is 70,000 so that somebody can put it in perspective. But this was years ago though. Minimum wage is like 20-some thousand naira. So people give children 20 naira, 10 naira, 50 naira to go to church as offering. My wife and I, we sat down and said, no. I told her, we'll never do it. I'd rather you go to church without an offering. But when you are going, what she used to do? She would call the oldest one. This is one that's not Baba now. Actually, it was a small boy at that time. She would put money in the envelope. 10,000 naira. 5,000 naira. Say, give to your uncle. Say, this is your offering. It was deliberate. Say, don't train these children to think the work of God is 15 naira work. That was all we're doing. A lot of parents don't mean bad. They just don't want them to, you know, it's small money. Say, train them to give. I said, no. Because these same people, how much is the ice cream you buy for them? That's my logic. These same people, the toys you give to them, how much do you pay? These same kids, they see you stop in traffic and order things. They've been to the mall with you. They carry the basket or they push the trolley. And the girl at the counter, or the woman at the counter, everything, take him 15,000 naira, sir. And your brother, they are your card. You understand what I'm saying? And they saw you pay. And you give the person, same person 15 naira to go to church. See, you've said something without saying anything. So my wife and I said, no. It wasn't every day. It's not she was giving them money every day. Just, it can be once in a month. And she'll make sure everybody sees it. So it was a deliberate brain programming. So when they open it, it's 10,000 naira. Uh-huh. This is church offering. Uncle Sonny. Mommy said I should give it that. It's our offering. Why are you there to give uncle? So you go and misplace it. You know, it's like they run an errand. That's it's deliberate. You know, so you don't train your children to make it look like their faith is not important. You are choosing school. All that matters to you is physics, chemistry, biology, and engineering, and mathematics, and law. And you follow my point? That's all that matters. You've not discussed with them how would they be doing church. I keep on saying this because God is correcting Christian parents. Be careful. Don't treat your faith as if it's supposed to end with your generation. If they live the way you are you are programming them to live? Would they give birth to anyone like you that's on fire for the Lord? Because they will not be. I step down again to say this. The path that God will use to take your children to where you want to get them to may not be the one you are planning. You get what I'm saying? I tell parents all the time, you know, the primary thing about university is education. That is for your brain to be enlightened. It doesn't mean that you practice whatever profession or no profession you learned there. Just go there and have your brain enlightened. In fact, my boy Victory, he put it on his status today. I had a very good laugh. Somebody said something. He cropped it and put it on his status. Fellow said, 50% of your activity in the university is walking around. Victory said, he didn't want me. The first is that this other 50% is moving around in confusion, chasing deadlines and submitting assignments. That between these two, all life in the university is complete. The guy said, I can relate. Because walking up and down. Yeah, somebody posted it. And really, that's part of the life. Do you get my point? That walking up and down is to sharpen your brain, file it, tune it. You understand? That's what it is. The reason why you are going to university is not really to get study something that you now practice. Some people do, yeah. But a lot of people, like I say all the time, Paul and Angel, you may not realize, in case you have forgotten, the guy is a very good doctor. All right? And that way, that dance he does, they didn't teach us that one, they call it your medicine. You get what I'm trying to say? So please, let's be this. Let's not kill ourselves trying to force the children into a particular path. So are you spending money you don't have? Please, some of you, you need to go and repent. You've taken the money of the gospel to buy a dollar. Ah, damn it. It's a serious matter. One of our brothers in their office, if you hear the amount of money these boys earn, heavy. Say so you ask one of his colleagues, say, nah, I better bring 5,000 or 10,000, I want to do something for some young people. He said, you know I don't have. And you look like, bro, I know your salary. Me and you work in the same place. How can you not have 10,000 naira? Why? He's paying mortgage abroad. He's paying school fees. If you're like that, you've messed your priorities. See, I said something earlier, I will say it again. Where these children will get to, they will still get there. After all, some of these, after we have finished running up and down, we'll get certificate. Is Dangote will be praying to God that he will open a door for us before him. Some of these children are making noise about now. If Dangote gives them a job in Ekpe, you will come to church to testify. Brethren, praise the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God I serve. Is Dangote that God? Do you follow my point? Please tell your neighbor, please relax now. Let me say this about the Lord. He can move heaven and earth for the sake of your children. You hear what I said? He will move them. Let me not say he can. He will.
Amen.
He will move this earth, rearrange mountains, remove leaders, put leaders, rewrite laws for the sake of your children.
Amen.
He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. My emphasis there that I will cause it to what? Flow. Towards you. That is, the thing we look for where you are and flow there. You hear what I said?
Yes,
that the thing we look for where you are and flow to that place. Let me say it again. God will make all grace abound towards you. The grace will look for where you are and bring prosperity to that place. If you are the head and not the tail, say amen.
Amen.
Who wags who? Is it the tail that wags the dog or the dog that wags the tail?
The dog that wags the tail.
So why should circumstances be running you up and down? See, in life, just tell yourself, you don't have too many things in life. One, keep on developing your godly character, add to your faith, moral excellence, the moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patience, kindness. No, don't confuse me. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Do it every day. Keep adding. That's number one. That's the primary thing. Number two, every opportunity God gives you to be a blessing to people, be. Walk where you have the ability to walk. Give where you have the ability to give. Where God opens the door. Be a blessing. And anything you want in life, ask the Lord for it. You know, the Lord helped me to see something the other time that, look, see, He can sanctify, purify your desires so much that anything you ask for, He will, that is, He will so do it. That's the life of a believer. He that believes does not make haste. The Bible says is undisturbed. A modern translation will tell you. He that believes is not disturbed. You are not a game of chance. I keep on saying that God sent you for a reason. Ask yourself, what am I so? What is my reason? See, just bear it in mind. And that reason may not be to build another covenant university, because some of us think that every one of God's children must become Bishop David Oyedepo. And those who are not Bishop David Oyedepo will be Iya Adeboye. And if you are not Adeboye, you will be Paul Enenche. And if you are, if you are not these ones, you will be something else, Sha. Maybe you'll now be Nathaniel Bassey. Brethren, it's not all of us that will be like that. But listen to this. All of us will be taken care of.
Amen.
All of us will prosper.
Amen.
All of us will fulfill our destiny.
Amen.
There is something that God gave each person life for. Each one of us should seek to fulfill that. See, all blessings are supposed to be an addition. They cannot be a pursuit. You see what I said? Stop making things to me like, in this my life, I just have to build a house. God said, what's all of this noise? One man stole and built 800 houses. Are you not aware of that? It's not this our country. A man stole money. Is it 800? Is it 750? Please, I want to ask people a question. What's the difference between 753 and 800? No practical difference. So you want to live your life for what somebody can steal small money and... Shouldn't you feel insulted? Like, oh God, how can I be insulting myself like this? Now the prayer and said, God, this is my life. I must build a house. Like Paul built a house. Like Peter built one. Like James did. You get my point? That cannot be your goal. You should be more interested in living out your life, being poured out like a drink offering. So that by the time you leave, people know that, somebody blessed us. One woman died last week now, and the whole world is talking about it. You know now. What's her name? Rose Elton. Thank you. Yeah, you know she died last week. Is it last week or 2 days ago? And in the last few days, she was 91? Yeah, 91. We said there was no difference between 753 and 800. That woman was, that is, and everybody's testimony is how she gave her life for people. She followed her father down to Nigeria in 1930 something. Abi? Yeah, she'll be about that because she was about 13 when they came. So remove 13 from 1990 or 91. That's how when she came to Nigeria. And everybody, you know, I'm sure now some people will be doing that, she'll be in different places. And the woman didn't marry. She refused to. She spent her life ministering to the under, you know, in rural areas, up and down. That is what, see, give ourselves the next 50 years. Some of the biggest houses we built around, you go to YouTube, abandoned houses, and you want to live your life to be pursuing, you want to build a house. Find something that's bigger than you to do, to waste your life on. Can I use the expression? You can decide that, okay, all this money I'm earning, Father God, half of it I'm going to be buying books, pamphlet tracts, and be distributing in schools all over and giving lectures to the young people and teaching them the word of God. And this is have an opportunity because what I'm saying is that there will be times that, look, you could have gone to make money, saying, no, I'm going to my rural area to go and teach children. If God uses it to rescue 10 people, just 10, you know it's going to be more than that. I'm just saying, 10 people later on in life, they talk about how your presence changed their lives. Instead of dying early, they have lived long now. They are serving God. Is that not better? Now, for you to build a house that your children will grow old and sell it. Why are they selling it? They are not using it. They build their own house. You don't even want them to inherit. Do you know that? Steve, you know you are not wanting your children to inherit your own house. Your prayer to God is that they will be so blessed, they wouldn't need it. I do not want to die over that. Can we get to our message for today? Why did I read this portion? See, if I finish this, okay, everybody, just press pause where we stopped last week. We'll come back next week and finish that one. So, just take this as an interlude. You know what they call interlude? Yes, just in parenthesis. But we're supposed to go on from something last time. We're talking about scripts. I just felt like we should share this. Just something I wanted to say here. I want to share this one to us again, with us again, and I've not even been able to do it. We read this. What did this say? He said, I've been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Please, I want to emphasize what this means again. Remember I said, please don't use this children's name against the Lord. Thank you. Don't use them as an excuse to disobey divine order. As I gave an example, that many people that God gave money to sponsor the gospel, help the needy, they have concentrated all the money to look for forex because they want to settle their families. And the work of God is not lying fallow in their hands, and they are feeling happy as if they have achieved something. And they pursue nothing but vanity in that process. One thing I was saying along the line is that stop comparing yourself with people that what you are using all the divine money God gave you to do, they are using pocket change. Sometimes I see people just run against horses. You know, the Bible says that you run against men, they wear you out. What will you now do when you are running against horses? Some people you are running after. They are horsemen financially. You know, call it financial horsemen. Yeah, they are financial horsemen. You are comparing yourself with them. God can do big things, but God says, that's not your life. Please, let me just explain this again. If you are here, even though I know you will put up your hand, but I just want to do the drama. If you are here, and one of the books I wrote has blessed you, can you put up your hand? Just one. Okay, put down your hand. Thank you very much. Thank you for making me feel happy. Even my children, their hands are up. That's good. If you are here, and at least 10 messages I've preached, audio, has blessed you, put up your hand. Okay, put up your hand. Thank you very much. I'm very happy. Do you care whether I have ₦1 billion or I don't? Have you ever asked yourself, in which house was he living when he wrote Great Faith Can Be Yours? Have you ever asked, no, seriously, have you ever asked, what did I eat the morning I preached one message that touched you so much? Now, let me ask you this question. Now, only for those whose heads are very correct. If you are not sure your head is, don't answer me. If God says, let's make a choice, he asks you personally in your room, not in church, in your room, should I give Banky ₦10 billion or grace to write those books? And God said, just choose one. You can't choose both. Which one will you choose? I mean, you can ask God, okay, God, just give him ₦10 billion. Or God said, if he has that, he will not write this book. So, to be honest, which one will you choose? And do you know you'll be able to defend it? You'll be able to explain to everybody. You'll tell my mother. That's why if your son having ₦10 billion, we chose that he should have grace to write. And you'll be able to explain. But why do you now want your own life to be different? Do you get my point? There's a place where God has given you grace. There's a place where he wants you to be influential. There is something he wants you to deposit on this earth. I remember you've sang this song, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. Do you know the authors, the writers of that song, two of them, they wanted to publish in one big journal or a church. And maybe they'll pay them royalties and all of that. But they asked them to do just one thing. The stanza where it says, and on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. They said they should change it to the love of God was magnified. Do you hear what I said? Some satanic church people came and said, we'll publish this in a big denomination, you know, journal or some or booklet or something. So maybe it will move across the world in millions. But we need you to just change these two lines or one line. On that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God, that's it, the wrath of God was satisfied. They said, change it to the love of God was magnified. Does it not sound right? Sounds innocent. Instead of saying the wrath of God, because those guys wanted to show that God does not have wrath. Jesus is not the lion of the tribe. He's a lamb. That's the angle. And these two men say, no, thank you. You know, many of us would have said that it doesn't matter. But what the Spirit gave them, they said, no, we will not compromise it. And they were willing to let go of any advantages that will come to them. Please don't help us publicize the song. We're not interested. But now you know the whole world has heard the song. Now the whole world has heard the song. Because this, you know, this, can I use the word viral nature of church things is an anointing. No, not in the church things. Even worldly things. Don't think it's a skill. There are musicians that you see. You call this a song. I won't mention too many names, but there's a lot of Nigerian musicians that, you know, I'll be asking people, please, which song did they sing? And when you finally hear the song, I don't want to mention anybody's name. And you're like, is this a song? And you're like, somebody is dancing to this. And then they will say on Spotify, they have 100 million streams. 500 million streams. Do you know why? These things are spiritual. When the Spirit has not is not on you, you can't appreciate the song. There was one song that caught the whole of Nigeria one time. As I'm walking past, I thought it was the silliest song in the world. Except that the guy sang in Yoruba, right? But they played it all across Nigeria, including those who didn't know what he was saying. And on my campus, bang, 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 bang. Everybody. One day I entered one room on campus. I knocked and knocked and knocked. The guy was dancing to this song. I knocked and knocked and knocked. He didn't hear me. He didn't have earphones, just loudspeakers. Then it's where our rooms were, all right? There's a kind of curtain you can open. I opened the guy's curtain. I was clapping to get his attention. He didn't hear me. Hello, hello, excuse me, excuse me. He was rocking. I was right behind him. I was clapping like this. He didn't have earphones. He was just dancing to a song which I could have bet he didn't know the meaning of the words. Because we're in the University of Benin. This was in Yoruba. And then I left. I said, this guy is really possessed. That is, let's not deceive ourselves. This guy is possessed. These songs are anointed with something. An anointing has to follow. Even worldly things. Spiritual one, more like that. But God poured his grace upon those people. They refused to compromise that which God has given them. Then God published his own song. He made every one of us hear it. And that song is so interesting. The first time you hear it, it captures you. The first day I heard it, it became my best hymn. I heard it only once. And I was going to preach the place where I heard it. When it was time for me to preach, I said, please, let's sing that song again. We need to sing that song again. They began to laugh. Since that day, they knew this is Banky's best song. It's an anointing that God poured upon it. But where I'm going is these men, they refuse to compromise that which God has given them. Look, let me quickly say this, please, before we go. Hi. He said, I've been young, verse 25, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants or children begging bread. What was he saying? Then let's 26, let me just read this. All day long, he's gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. I want you to believe God for this statement for your children. Amen. That they will be a blessing. Amen. That they will be a blessing. Amen. Please, next time, allow me, we'll continue next time writing the script. The last time we began writing the script. And that script writing is crucial. Whatever God wants to do on this earth, you must cooperate with him. What you will do is that you look into the heavens, which is done through the scriptures. And then you begin to use that as a prayer line. Thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. Concerning your children, there are certain things he has said. We'll read a few of them before I go on, or before we leave, because we'll use it next time. Last time we talked about the fact that they must fulfill destiny. And if you remember, we buried some people. Do you remember that? Anybody that wants to hang your children on drugs, he will take it and overdose. Either you say amen, not it will happen. I've helped you with the amen, so. But your children will be safe.
Amen.
They can't smoke Igbo. They will not in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They will not in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No spirit of addiction will take over any of your children.
Amen.
They will either serve God or they will serve him.
Amen.
Those are their two options. They will either serve God or they will serve Him. They will either believe or they will believe.
Amen.
They will either enter destiny or they will enter destiny.
Amen.
They will either be a blessing or they will be a blessing.
Amen.
We offer them no other option. No other option. Remember the scripture we used from Samuel, the story of Hannah. Hannah said, this was this boy, the son I asked the Lord for. He said, now I'm dedicating him to the Lord. I say on your behalf, before our Father in heaven, your children are dedicated to the Lord.
Amen.
Every single one of them, they are dedicated to the Lord.
Amen.
Please let me give you a minute again. Just call their names by yourself there and say, you are dedicated to the Lord. Say, sir, but I don't have the children yet. Say it all the same. All my children are dedicated to the Lord. I need you to say it again. Because once they are his own, he will watch over them. Once they are his own, he will constrain them. He will lead them about, and there will be no foreign God with them. Once they are his own, forget it. He will take care. He will bring you everything that you need to take care of them. He will open universities for their sake. He will start industry segments through which they will be a blessing. Thus says the Lord, your children will be a blessing. They will not only be blessed. The Bible says, his descendants are a blessing. I need you to say that concerning your children. You are a blessing. You are dedicated to the Lord and you are a blessing. You are dedicated to the Lord. You are a blessing. You belong to the Lord and you are a blessing. Not only are you blessed, you will be a blessing. Through you, the blessing of God will come unto your generation. Will come unto your environment. Into your environment. Will come into your nation. God will plant you in an industry, in a ministry, in a business, in a home to inject a blessing into that place. Now mention those children one by one if you have them already or you have their names. Some of us will give children to our, will give names to our children before they are physically born. Still mention their names. Still mention their names. Those names. And say, you are dedicated to the Lord and you will be a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just read this again. Just finish what I'm saying here. When he said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Please, let's remember again what that means. When he said, the righteous. It doesn't mean the morally upright in society. I'm not saying Christians are not morally upright, but that's not what he was referring to. He's not talking about the minister of God in society. He didn't say, I'm young, I'm old. I've never seen the children of priests forsaken. That's not what he said. It doesn't mean the man that's morally upright in society, even though that is important. The righteous person, brethren, listen, is the one that when the word of God comes to him, comes to her, that forms the basis for every decision, no matter how dangerous it appears. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, not only for his sake, but for all those who will believe that which God says to them. To believe, my brethren, means to accept God's word and make it the basis of any action you are taking. Please, I have preached today, though I didn't plan that. But I think it's important. Concerning your children, you must be called righteous. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I'll give an example. You're a parent. Your son is going to come very soon that he wants to marry. There's nothing wrong with having natural thoughts, natural desires, natural inclinations. But you want to be blessed or not? Don't counsel that young man, and if it's your daughter, that young woman, against God's word. Don't be seen relegating God's word aside, secondary, to your customs, your traditions. You know why? That is what the Bible calls righteous. Righteous is not the man who is in his shop. Money doesn't get missing. That's correct. It's good to be righteous like that. But in this context, what was David saying? I have never seen an Abraham leave Ur because God spoke to him. And God will leave him forsaken, and Isaac and Jacob will beg him for bread. That's what he said. I have never seen a Ruth leave her own life behind, that is, forsake her own personal prospects, but by faith follow Naomi back to Israel, the midst of the people of God, and she will be forsaken, and her children will beg for bread. No, David said, I've never seen it. He said, I have never seen a Rahab take hold of the opportunity for deliverance, forsaking all she knew, and hold on to the faith of God, making her choices because of God. And she's forsaken, and her children beg for bread. David said, it can never happen. I've never seen anybody who truly made a choice because of the Lord regret it. David said, it is not possible. Now, let me explain to you. That is an oath the Lord has taken, backed by his righteousness. You know what he said? Those who hopefully wait for me will never be put to shame. Please, I spoke a lot today. I know what I'm telling you by the Spirit of God. People can make plans for their children, obey God for their sake. Say, everybody is doing like this. Say, my son, why I have to obey the Lord is for your sake. You will see, I said it at the beginning, there is a blessing that is active. Even if he's stranded in the desert in Australia, he will have help. See, this world there, what you are seeing is not all there is in the physical things. There are angels that move up and down. They are patrolling. If your child is stranded inside the desert, they will walk there by themselves. What's the problem? I'm thirsty. Take water. Drink. Why are you giving me water? Because God said to your father, your children will never lack. I say, thank you, sir. You want to rub your eye? Look, there's nobody there. But you have enough water to drink till you get out of that desert. What was David saying? That's what they call righteous. See, people want to get on their knees and pray for their children. And we should, right? But what am I preaching to you today? Sow a seed for their destiny. And you know that seed is what? Righteousness, obedience to the word of God. That is the seed. It's not just to kneel down. Hey, Father. You know, God said to Abraham, because of this thing you have done, by myself, I have sworn, in blessing, I will bless you. That is the meaning of righteousness. Everybody's running off to Egypt, and God says, don't worry about it. Stay in the land, I'll take care of you. God says, if Isaac stays in that land, Jacob, Esau, their descendants, so they won't lack food. Do you know? With all the vex, some of these men, including what they call Esau, the Edomites. Do you know what God said? He said to Israel, I've given that one to the Edomites. Don't touch it. If you go near it, I will fight against you. Why? Because of Jacob. Because of Isaac. Because of Abraham. What's the meaning of the righteous? The righteous is not the prayerful. No. It is the one that makes critical decisions in his life, critical decisions in her life, just because the Lord said so. Brethren, that is the meaning of the righteous. And for the children of the righteous, forget it. They will never be forsaken. They will never beg for bread. Bow down your heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Just say the Lord, thank you. Father, thank you. Say to the Lord, thank you.